tell you a little story. I'm glad to see Wilma and Houston clean this morning. They were going to put out salt for me last night about dark and then maybe go fishing. And somehow in the 10 minutes that they prepared to go fishing, since they'd been out with me all afternoon, they forgot that it was muddy. And so Wilma had his, what are they called? Chacos on, sandals on, and Houston had his tennis shoes on, and they had the good idea, well, we'll just back the Kubota up to the salt feeder so we can stand on the tailgate and put the salt out. The only problem with the plan was getting it out. And so the final plan to get it out was for them just to strip their shoes off, and right off in that knee-deep mud they went. But we got it out after several attempts, didn't we, guys? But you can imagine with mud spinning and them off in it that, in fact, Rob comes out of his house because I said, you're going over to Rob's and getting a creek is what you're going fixing to go do. Rob said, what are they doing? I said, they're getting washed in the creek. That you ain't coming home like you look. So anyway, they cleaned up. Wilma looked like he had his, again, to go back to our movies, looked like he had his death face on. He had lines of mud all over the place. So they cleaned up pretty good. I hope they learned a lesson. They probably were better off without their boots because I think it would have gone over the top, just to be honest with you. It has been an interesting week this week for me, because of many of you and for many of you. So we're going to kind of have, I'm really not going to preach this morning. We're going to pray in just a few moments. And just, this is kind of going to be family time, for us this morning. I cannot remember a week ever. And there may have been one, but I can't remember a week ever when I have had as many calls and visits and run into people just in need of prayer and just with lots of things going on. It has just been a blessed week in some ways to be able to be about prayer for each other. But it has just been a week where there has been death and sickness and fear and domestic issues, not among us, but among friends, and just lots of things going on. So I have thought very much, I'm just sharing with you my thought patterns for the week. As I have, we're going to get back, maybe not next week, as I'm thinking, we're going to talk about the kingdom for a week or two. And then we're going to get back to our study of the foundations of relationships and those things. I have not forgotten that because that's extremely important. But I have thought a great deal about the kingdom. It makes us think about the kingdom because Jesus, in teaching us to pray, talks to us about what is the kingdom. We learn about the kingdom because Jesus says, pray that what? Thy kingdom come, that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we live in a world where the kingdom has not come in its fullness. Okay? The kingdom has not come in its fullness. And we could spend lessons talking about the kingdom and its fullness and its place, and it's probably a great study, maybe better suited for a class time, Rob, than some others, but to talk about the kingdom where God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And we are able to be part of the kingdom of God, but realizing we still live in a world that is fallen. A world that is fallen where there is sin and death and struggle. But Jesus said, as Will read for us, Jesus said, I came to give you life and that you might have it to the full, or that you might have it in abundance. And so I want to think about that for a moment, because what does that mean? Well, like lots of verses, it means lots of different things to lots of people. And very often we look and say, well, Jesus said that I came that I might have life and have it to the full. And if you're like me, which many of you are, because it's for most of us our nature, when do we want it? Now, right? Those are chants sometime in our protest, right? This is what we want, and when do we want it? We want it now. And so as we think about this, then we look and begin to say, well, what does Jesus mean? I came to give you life and give it to you in abundance. And then we go into the whole struggle about claiming life and claiming abundance and, the kind of the name it and claim it philosophy. And yet as I look at that, great people of God have struggles in life. People of the kingdom have struggle. We've talked about this a lot, but we have to understand it. Now, does that mean Jesus is not keeping his promises? Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. Jesus is incapable of power. Or is Jesus saying, I came that you might have life in abundance? Almost like the same promise that's made to Abraham. I came that you might inherit this land. This land will be yours. But it didn't come to Abraham immediately, right? But did God keep his promise? He absolutely kept his promise. And God meant it. And God had a plan to bring it to fruition. It just took some time for God to bring about his plan. And then we look at what we've been studying on Sunday nights, the Beatitudes that we are familiar with. But I want us to look at those. This Jesus who said, I come to give you life and that you might have it to the full, said, blessed are those who mourn. Right? Blessed are those who mourn. And we don't often find fullness in life in mourning. But Jesus understood there was going to be mourning. But what happens for those who mourn? There'll be comfort, right? Mourning will come, but there will be comfort for those who mourn. And so, for those who struggle, the whole thought of the Beatitudes, as you struggle through this and you seek righteousness and you seek God, you will find fulfillment and comfort and peace and inheritance of fullness of life. You'll have life abundant. Life as God intends it. But it makes us, it requires us, as we should always, to be mindful of the kingdom and of eternity. Right? Be mindful of the kingdom and of eternity. Because what is our lives? They are just a vapor, right? That appear for a little while and then they are gone. That is not meant to be gloomy. Although sometimes it is on this side of death, right? The thought about how brief life really is. And again, for those of us over 30, we're getting a pretty good taste of how quick it is. I'm not sure under 30 that you do, but over 30, you realize what the blur is. You know, you remember every year until you're 20, and then you start trying to remember what happened in this decade versus this year, right? I mean, it flies, and that's just the reality of the way life is. It is brief. It is brief. And so when we look at God and His promises, we realize our life here is brief. If 1,000 years is but a day, our lives are just seconds in the scheme of things. If that, does that begin to make sense? So we put that in perspective. And when Jesus said, I came that you'll have life and abundance, I came to bring what was good for you. And then He gives us the most wonderful of analogies. The most wonderful of analogies, that of a shepherd. And that analogy, that thought, had great meaning to King David, didn't it? Remember, this man after God's heart talks about the Lord being his shepherd. And David understood what it was to shepherd, to care for those sheep, to take care of them, to lead them to green pastures and to still waters and to bind their wounds and to provide for them and to care for them. And David says, God is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And then Jesus comes and says, I am the good shepherd. Now there have come those before who claimed to be the Messiah, who claimed to lead you to life, but he said, I came that you will have life to the full, and I'm the shepherd who can and will lead you there. Not only because I know where it is, but the actual case is because I am the way. Literally in my body, in my life, I'm going to show the way to the fullness of the kingdom, where God's will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Where God's will is complete, and where God's desire for us to be in a perfect place is complete. And so, for that, we ought to look forward to it. Right? Absolutely. There ought to be joy because the scripture, the gospels will talk about the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. And what's the good news of the kingdom? It's not just that Jesus came and died for our sins. It's what the gospel is summed up in, because in Jesus doing that, He paid the price that does what? That bridges the gap, that delivers us from sin and death to abundant life. He becomes the path. He is the way from where we are to the perfection and greatness that God has prepared for us. And in a short time, in eternal speak, that's where we'll be. Where what happens? Everything else changes. Where we have life at its very fullest. And here's the fact. We don't even know what that means. I can't even grasp that. Can you? I can't even grasp that. Life to the fullest. Problem-free living. Now, that's what every product on the television is trying to sell us, right? The laundry detergent. Now it's just a little, I don't know, packet, for lack of a better term, that you pop in there, right? And the clothes come out cleaner than they ever came out before. And oh, buddy, the new dishwashing detergent. Ain't that something? Put the baked lasagna in there, comes out clean. Trouble-free, right? Put the Ridex in the septic tank, Todd, and the septic tank gives you no trouble. We were having some backing up issues Friday night. I thought yesterday I was going to be head deep in it, but so good so far today, buddy. But the Ridex, the reason I say that is all of those products and all of those things is about making life easier and trouble-free, right? And Jesus said, I came to give you life in abundance. And God is going to fulfill that for us sooner than we probably realize. And so there shouldn't be discouragement today. We're just maturing and getting ready. And how do you really appreciate something? When you hadn't had it, right? When you come through difficulty, you really appreciate when things are better. You know, we kind of take for granted. If things going, you know, fairly well, then we start getting nitpicky about the things that make us unhappy. Do you do that? I do it. Let's just be honest with you. I do it. I start getting nervous if things are going too good. I start worrying about, well, what do I need? What else do I need to do? What else do I need to accomplish? Or whatever. But if you've just come through an issue, and it may not, it may be a major health issue, might be a major family, it may just be some nagging issue. You don't have running water. Your heat and air unit doesn't work. The plumbing doesn't work. Those things that we take for granted every day until they don't work, right? And then, when you get that back going, what do you just want to do? Just want to go sit down in a chair a minute and go, whoo, isn't this wonderful, right? Because the getting all that done and the not having it and all the hustle and bustle of trying to make that work and make provision. And then when you get all that done, it's like, oh, man, that's great. We're going to appreciate what God has done for us because of the struggles we have been through. Why was Israel looking so forward to the promised land? They'd been in slavery, right? They had been in the desert. God had provided for them, and they probably should have been more appreciative than they were, shouldn't we all? But they were tired of manna and quail, right? Probably other than pinto beans and mashed potatoes, there's very few meals most of us would want to eat for 40 years on end. We might could stand that in a little cornbread every day. But they were doing something new. And so this land of promise brought what? Freedom. It was going to be their land, right? God was going to give them their own land. No longer were they going to be sojourners in a foreign land. No longer were they going to be enslaved in a foreign land. It was going to be a land that was theirs. And what was the land like? It flowed with milk and honey. And so they looked forward to it because that's not the situation that they had been in. And God, did God deliver on His promise? He absolutely did. He absolutely did. And God absolutely will. God absolutely will. As we wander in the wilderness, awaiting the land of promise, the fullness of the kingdom, God will provide us manna and quail and care for us. But remember, we are still marching toward that land of promise where perfectly God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And I want us to talk next week to give you a primer about the will of God being done, about the kingdom, because the scripture is all about the kingdom. The gospel of Matthew is all about, this is what the kingdom is going to be like. This is how the kingdom of God is. But the kingdom of God is where God's will is done perfectly on earth as it is in heaven. And what does Jesus come to give us and what does God want for us? That we might have life to its absolute fullest. Life to its absolute fullest. Let's bow together for a time of prayer. Dear Father, we're so thankful for the gift of your Son Jesus. Lord Jesus, we're thankful to you that you have come to give us life in abundance, life to its fullest. And Father, help us to keep eternity in our hearts and help us to look to the fullness of the kingdom when these promises will be fulfilled. Father, we know that your will is to do us good and not harm. And we look so forward to the day when we are delivered from this wandering and where your will is done in its fullness and where you bless us with the perfect goodness that you know is our need because you have designed us. And Father, you have blessings beyond our ability to comprehend that we have not seen nor have ears heard of the greatness that you have for us, nor are our minds able to comprehend what you have prepared for us. Father, we know it came at a tremendous price, the price of the life of your Son. Not only was he willing to come and die that terrible death on the cross, but he came and walked in our shoes for those 30 years, suffering as human beings suffer. And Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that through you and through your name and through your interceding with the Spirit, we're able to approach the Father and that you have compassion and empathy as we walk through this life and the struggles that come in this life, Father. Lord Jesus, we're thankful for your willingness to pay that price that we might be redeemed, that we might be adopted into sonship and to be children of the King and the blessings that come with being the family of the King of the universe. Dear Father, I pray a very special blessing on all of your people the world over, who may be suffering persecution, who are battling sickness and struggle. Father, I pray your blessing. Father, I pray that your Spirit fills your church, your kingdom, and your people, that we might seek your ways and know your truths and be committed to them, Father. Father, I also pray for your blessings on those of us of our community, of this church, of our families, of those with whom we work and those with whom we live who are struggling, Father. I pray your blessing in a very special way to be on them. Father, I pray a special blessing on those of the household of faith that you bring healing and blessing and comfort, and your Spirit will bring direction to all of our lives, Father, as we struggle with the loss through death, as we struggle with sicknesses, Father, as we struggle with problems on our jobs and in our workplaces that have us concerned and stressed, problems in our relationships. Father, we just need your blessing. And Father, we pray that in our lives, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we know that this world has fallen and that sin and the consequences of it still ravish this world in which we live. And Lord Jesus, we just pray that you come quickly and deliver us from these struggles. Father, in praying that prayer, help us to, in a more acute way, be about your business. In a more acute and urgent way, to be about the good news of the kingdom. Because, Father, there are so many who are not a part of your kingdom. And help us to be about living in a way that shines your light, that they may see you living in us, that we may talk about and teach your truths so that they might be gathered in before your coming and the time of judgment comes, Father. Because we know that that is urgent, and really the opportunity we have, the time here, is so brief. And help us to be in a more urgent way about your business. Father, help us to look to eternity and know that your fullness and your abundance awaits us. And help us to have patience through our struggles and realize, as you told the Apostle Paul, as he dealt with that thorn in the flesh with which he dealt and struggled and which brought some impairment to him, that your grace is sufficient for all of us. And Father, help us not to lean on our own understanding, on our own abilities and talents and opportunities, but Father, help us to trust fully in you each moment of each and every day, that we might depend on you and lean on you, Father. Open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to the opportunities that you provide for us. And Father, give us the desire to seize those opportunities to bring glory to you and to be of assistance to others. Father, help us to be a part of bringing your kingdom into this world so that your will is done in our lives here on earth as it will be done in heaven and is done in heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen. What a privilege to be a part of the kingdom of God, to be heirs of the King. It's almost beyond grasp, isn't it? To be heirs of the King. We're not much about kings in our country. We sent the king packing over a couple of hundred years ago, and that's our heritage. And we have to understand that. So when we think about this thought of being children of the King, it's a little bit foreign to us. But our God is the King of the universe. He is a benevolent King, but He is King of the universe. And He has provided for our adoption as children of the King and all of the blessings and all of the privileges that come with being children of the King. Because there were privileges to being children of the King. And there are privileges to being children of the King of God, but there are responsibilities that come with being children of the King. And that is to walk in the ways of our Father and to take on His very nature of love and kindness and light and patience and steadfastness. Jesus came because none of us have lived up to the glory of God. None of us. Jesus, who lived the kingdom perfectly. Jesus, who did God's will on earth as it is done in heaven in a perfect way, gave His life as a ransom as a payment so that we might be adopted as children, that we might be forgiven, and that we might be heirs with Christ. The scripture says joint heirs with Christ of eternal life. And when the Bible speaks of eternal life, it doesn't just speak of living forever. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Living forever in a terrible situation is not a blessing. Right? Living forever in torment is a terrible situation. Living forever in sickness is a terrible situation. But when Scripture talks about eternal life, it is about life that not only is everlasting, but is abundant and full with all of the fullness that God can provide for the children whom He loves. Jesus left the fullness of heaven with all of its glory and all of its blessings and all of the opportunities and privileges He had. He emptied Himself and became a man and died for us. He suffered for a while that He might be glorified. And the Scripture will tell us that our sufferings in this life are nothing compared to the glories that God has prepared for us. Jesus said, I came that you might have life, that you might have it in abundance. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.